The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. I don't know why Matthew is doing that right now, but he's doing this thing where he looks like an animated creature trying to dance.
Whatever, I just, you know, when the music hits me, and I see myself on the beautiful screen of the internet, just try to do a little something for people that are tuning into the live show, just a little something for a little extra treat.
So you think that enhances their experience?
I think it...
You think people actually enjoy... Like, they're more excited about watching us because
what
you
I think.
Do your thing. Okay.
That's what I think.
Gotcha. Do you know those, like, you see him, we haven't seen him a lot recently, but those sort of like, you see him oftentimes during Halloween.
Right.
Almost like the air, like they're big, oversized.
The inflatable, wavy, wacky arm
yes,
guys.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Thank you, Daniel.
Right.
The inflatable, that's what you sort of look like. Those guys that don't really have, they're sort of like
amorphous.
And they kind of just sort like, of are all over the place and they have no rhythm to them. They just, Daniel's doing a lot better than I was. That's what Matthew looks
like. Yeah, it's right like there. It's like you see him outside of like car dealerships. Exactly. So
that was you.
Yeah. Was it? Because I was trying to bob and weave. Like I was trying to like, you know.
Nope.
I think, you know what? Maybe just stick to dabbing instead.
Yeah.
The fantasy, as we mentioned, we have a
little... You know,
okay,
I'm just, whatever. I'm out here trying to kill it for the people, giving it up for the audience. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to kill it at every given moment. And you're there like a stiff board. Like, why don't you put me to shame? What should you, you know, what could you do?
Tell you about Thursday Night Football. Does that work?
I suppose.
The Thursday Night Football Recap is brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast. A breakfast so good, you'll want to tell someone about it, like their iced coffee. That stuff was awesome. All right, let's get into it quickly. It was not the game that we were all circling on our calendars before the season began, but it was a game.
It was entertaining.
Sure. Yeah, it was. No, I'm just saying. But I mean...
That for 2-0-3, I'll tell you two quick things about that. First off, for 2-0-3 teams, that was a much better game than we could have hoped for.
I agree.
And secondly, I think Bill Barnwell, our colleague and friend, put this out on Twitter the other yesterday, which is that like if you had told me in the middle of May, we would be watching, you know, Brett Rypien versus Sam Darnold, 2-0-3 teams on Thursday Night Football. I would have said, like, yes, please, oh, please, oh, please, let that happen. So you know what?
Perspective.
I'm thankful for football. Thank you to everyone. I'm excited that we had that game last night. I'm looking forward to week four this weekend.
You are a man of the people.
I am.
Well said by you. But let's get into just a few fantasy notes and takeaways. Not a ton of takeaways necessarily. I will pass along. Melvin Gordon had a great night last night.
He
had 107 rushing yards. Much of that came on his clinching 43-yard touchdown run, one of his two touchdown runs of the night. Tim Patrick, kind of a breakout game for the Broncos last night. Not sure there's much to that, though. Six catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. I'd like to see it more before I were to tell you that you should be investing in Tim Patrick. His teammate Jerry Jeudy, though, had the best highlight of his young career. He had a long, I believe it was a 49-yard touchdown where the ball was kind of stuck to the defender's helmet for a second. And Jeudy was like, give me that.
Well, he basically was underthrown. And so Jeudy like sort of went over top of the guy to grab the ball and bring it in. And credit to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman who said, you got mossed.
Yeah,
you know, right.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
out,
so
man.
shout out to the segment that they do every on Monday Night Countdown. But the guy did get mossed. And I just wonder if Jerry Jeudy is some, look, we all agree on the talent, right? And whether it's going to be Brett Rypien or, you know, Drew Lock eventually, like, is Jerry Jeudy kind of a buy low at some point? Is he somebody that maybe you should invest in? Like, Tim Patrick is, you know, listen, it was a nice game here, but, you know, KJ Kamler, you know, had the hammy and everything like that. And so I don't know that he's somebody you count on either necessarily, but it's worth noting. But Jerry Jeudy was sort of interesting to me that, like, second half of the year, could we see something here? Especially with no Cortland Sutton?
Yeah. I mean, as we pointed out yesterday, he had at least seven targets each of his first three games. So maybe there's something. I do wonder if people that drafted Jerry Jeudy are going to be more determined to hold on to Jerry Jeudy because they liked him for some reason going into the season, but not a bad idea for potential buy low candidate. I think he's available in a couple leagues.
I was just going to say, like, I don't think he's 100% rostered.
He's not 100% rostered. Maybe an interesting depth flyer on the end of your bench, keeping in mind, obviously, that it's really important to have flexibility right now on your roster. Noah Fant briefly left this game. Stefania, are we nervous about their best, most consistent offensive pass catcher right now?
I think if you were watching the game last night, you were nervous because you saw him get carted off, and it sounded like it could have been something significant with his ankle. Adam Schefter tweeted this morning or sometime in the middle of the night that they were relatively relieved that it didn't seem to be as serious as they first thought. I've since followed up this morning and can concur that that's the sentiment. But I would also caution that sometimes in the day or two after these injuries, when you get swelling that sets in, that's when it turns into a problem. So stay tuned. But for now, it doesn't appear that any serious structural injury took place.
Stefania, what are we staying tuned to just specifically?
To
this show? To you?
To me.
We always do that.
Yeah,
we don't need to stay tuned because we already are tuned. We always are tuned to Stefania Bell.
Well said there. For the Jets, just a couple of takeaways on the Jets side. Good to see Jameson Crowder have a nice night last night. How about Jeff Smith? Our boy.
Yeah, just called off the practice squad, put into the lineup. And
former BC football standout.
There you go. Yeah. Go Eagles.
They have some optimism there for Jeff Smith. I just don't know that you can be optimistic about any Jets pass catcher based off what we saw last night. Sam Darnold had the best rushing game of any Jets quarterback in a long, long time because he had this 43-yard miracle dash. Sweet play by Sam Darnold. Who
beast mode. It was like great. Unbelievable.
But Stefania, I want to go back to you for a second, and we'll make it quick on the Jets, we promise. I thought this was going to be a Sam Darnold leaves the game and does not return. We were all sitting there thinking to ourselves that would be the case. He took a huge hit to that right shoulder, and he bounced back within like a quarter of gameplay.
And I was really watching how he was throwing. Like, was he going to struggle to make the throws down the field? Because there are a few things that can happen when you get taken down like that. And if you saw the tackle, when your arm gets pinned to your side, essentially his arm was against his side. That really opens up the possibility for the shoulder to be exposed. So you think the point of the shoulder, AC sprain, clavicle, collarbone injury, or rotator cuff injury, which is what Drew Locke had in a similar takedown that has resulted in him missing time. If his rotator cuff had been a problem, Sam Darnold wouldn't have been able to make some of the throws that he did. So they probably took him back and did quick x-ray and checked him out and felt like he was clear to return. And he showed that he could still throw the ball.
All right. Well, that's good. I mean, obviously the Jets offense doesn't offer much inspiring confidence, but if Sam Darnold did not return, it would have been Joe Flacco for the rest of the game, who threw a couple of passes last night. Welcome
back. There you go.
Joe Flacco. Chris Herndon.
Revenge game.
That's right. We've been trying for 2 years to make Chris Herndon happen. I still believe he's a talented player. Maybe he needs to change the scenery, but Chris Herndon cannot get it going, or maybe the Jets can't get Chris Herndon going. He just one catch for 11 yards on three targets last night. If for some reason you have been...
If every other pass catcher on the Jets got injured on the same play.
Right.
Do you think he would get a target then?
No, they'd probably throw it to Alex Lewis, the guard, or something. They'd run a Eric Fisher play for Alex Lewis instead.
Right, tackle eligible. Like, I don't know what... Like, yeah, I mean, like, it's you know, it's the old Mean Girls meme, you know? It's just like, you know, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen. It's the same thing here. Stop trying to make Chris Herndon happen. It's not going to happen as long as Adam Gase is the head coach of the Jets, and it appears that... We'll see, but
all
seems like it, all the reports
night, there was
are
a
that
steady stream of reports that came out same time frame last night, all with the same message: Adam Gase is not getting fired, at least for right now.
At least for right now, they are full on tanking for Trevor. That's, by the way, not the worst idea. Like, you know what? If that's your plan, like, you know what? We're keeping you there.
There's a lot of season ahead. I'd be interested to see what happens in 10 or 12 weeks from right now. But if they were to actually end up with that number one overall pick, what a fascinating conversation that would be between Sam Darnold and keeping him, or trading Sam Darnold and drafting Trevor Lawrence. All right, we got a ton of injury updates to get to. A ton of them because it is Friday. So it's time now for Stefania Bell.
She's not a coach. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.
Stefania, it is Friday, which not only means a lot of injuries, but also a lot of wide receivers that are stars that we need updates on. And as if we haven't gone through a lot of wide receiver injuries in the first 3 weeks of the season, now we have DeAndre Hopkins, who has missed practice in back-to-back days. Is his week four status in peril?
I don't think so. You know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of concern in Arizona right now. And if you look at the history of DeAndre Hopkins, pretty routine that he misses a practice, sometimes two, during the week. But he always shows up on Sunday, virtually played in every single game the last five seasons. So I would be shocked at this point if this turns into something that causes him to miss time just based on the vibe that I'm getting out there in Arizona. Okay. But he knows himself very well and will tend to rest during the week and be available on Sunday.
That's very encouraging right there. Fantasy Football Now on Sunday morning. Certainly we'll have more updated information there. Christian Kirk will be the next man up. I think the number one wide receiver. Something happened to DeAndre Hopkins, but it's not just DeAndre Hopkins. We've got a bunch of star receivers here, Stefania, including Devontae Adams for the Green Bay Packers. They play on Monday night, so we're still relatively early in their practice week. What do you know about him?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of question marks in the receiver department for Monday night right now. But Devontae Adams, obviously with the hamstring issue that sidelined him last week. And we talked about the fact that it didn't appear to be that serious. He had lobbied to go back into the game where he was originally hurt. They, even though they called him doubtful, they left it open that he could possibly play last week. All things that would tell you the injury itself wasn't overly serious. Devontae Adams back in limited practice, and I think we all assumed he'd naturally go this week. But then yesterday, he had some very interesting remarks saying that he wasn't going to be out there unless he was 100%. And my comment to that was, you never really know if you're 100% from these hamstring injuries until you're back and get through a full game. I've said that a million times. So it'd be interesting to see what he thinks is 100% to get him out there. I know Matt LaFleur sounded positive about him, and he also said that they would not use the bye week as a consideration. Now, who knows where the truth is in all of that. So I think Devontae Adams still a question mark, even though he's clearly been physically improving. Stay tuned. Saturday will be a big day.
Just to make it all one wholesome conversation, Stefania, about Monday Night Football, there are three other wide receivers that all of a sudden have injury considerations as well. Maybe even four, if you think about it, with three Falcons wide that are banged up.
Right. The Falcons, you've got Julio Jones with a hamstring issue that obviously was limiting him. He is improving, and Dan Quinn said he was trending the right way for Monday Night Football. Certainly sounds like they plan to have him. Russell Gage in the concussion protocol, we always say nonlinear, but the fact that they have until Monday does give you some encouragement. And he was participating to some degree in yesterday's practice. So if everything progresses normally, you'd hope that they would be able to have him. And then Calvin Ridley held out of practice because of an ankle issue, but expected to play on Monday night. And just over in the Green Bay Packers, worth noting, Alan Lazard will be out indefinitely because of undergoing core muscle surgery. So this injury obviously came up after the game last week and already has had it taken care of. These are typically in the 5 to 6 week neighborhood for guys to return from, but they also don't often have the same power right when they first come back. So stay tuned.
Okay. Interesting stuff there for Lazard, who had a great game just a couple of weeks ago. Last week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, two things. Number one is suddenly Marquez Valdes-Scantling obviously becomes a lot more interesting. He's available in a lot of leagues. This is a game that we expect a lot of points to be scored. Falcons secondary has really struggled. I believe they give up the third most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. And then the other piece here is that, you know, suddenly you're looking for other pass catchers there in Green Bay. Does Robert Tonyan, their tight end, suddenly become
big play
more, that some people call Baby Kittle,
right?
Out there in
workout
the fantasy
buddies,
huh?
They're workout buddies.
They are, yeah. So there you go. Just some names to put on your radar, especially by, you know, I think a lot of people are still scrambling with the news that the Titans and Steelers game is not going to be played, and so, you know, that's somebody that might be worth looking into.
I want Kumerow back, baby.
Huh?
Touchdown Jesus. Bring back Jay Kumerow.
Oh, I know. Kumerow's on the
practice squad.
That's right. I knew he was on a practice squad. I can remember. So he's on the Bills practice squad. By the way, this injury to Lazard is the exact reason why I don't have any core muscles. Because you can't tear them or hurt them if you don't have them, Field Yates.
That's the
you understand
reason
what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Like,
wow. Okay.
Alan Lazard, your fault for having core muscles.
Wow.
Like if you had a body like this, baby,
dad bod
wouldn't be hurt.
I got to give him
that.
Oh,
my God.
Please.
I might have a granddad bod, actually, is what I might have. Listen, let me. I'm just going to, and we have a lot of dads that watch the show and listen to the show. So just a helpful hint from your pal Maddie here. Baggy shirts are your friends.
I was wondering why you go double XL.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, okay. All right, Stefania, a bunch more injury updates here. Now let's get to the Buccaneers, specifically Chris Godwin, who we know, based off Bruce Arians' comments, that may not be available on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I'm not expecting Chris Godwin to be available. And pay attention to Scotty Miller, too. He's also banged up with a hip and a groin issue. Over in Jacksonville, DJ Chark, remember last week, the chest and back injury after a hard fall. And then yesterday, practicing in a non-contact jersey. And a little tip here is that we see the non-contact jerseys, a lot of teams use them when guys are coming off an injury. But Jacksonville rarely has a non-quarterback in a non-contact jersey. So still, they're pretty concerned about DJ Chark. I'd say he's a toss-up right now to play. Terry McLaurin, all of a sudden added to the injury report on Thursday. You don't like to see that.
Nope.
But my understanding is that this is not significant, maybe just a little bit of rest. So don't rule him out just yet.
Okay, so One more there, Stefania, on the injuries for the wide receivers?
Yep. John Brown with the calf issue. And I had said yesterday that I really didn't expect him to play. I was hearing this was something that might keep him out, not only this week but beyond, but showed up limited in practice yesterday. You never know. These things can always change. Remember, injuries are fluid. There's not a set timetable. I don't think they feel great about his status, but the fact that he was out there yesterday, somewhat encouraging. And let's not forget about Michael Thomas of the Saints. How could we forget? And he's back in limited practice. I think that they certainly expect to have him back, and he wants to play.
Okay, that's good news. And on Michael Thomas especially, that's the kind of injury that between now and when they play on Sunday, you're going to have an update, right? Like, you're not going to go into Sunday in the dark on Michael Thomas. Unquestionably, it'll be one of the injuries that, you know, Shefty is following going into that game on Sunday. So I expect if you wake up early on Sunday morning, you'll have an update from him.
I just want to add one more thing. I just got an update that Doug Marrone on his internet show this morning said that he's, quote, comfortable with DJ Chark playing this week. So,
all right.
Wait sounds a second. Like a little more positive.
Are you watching Doug Marrone's internet show rather than our internet show?
That's our corner here.
Right.
We're the internet show people, not
right.
Well, but, you know, you want him to have an internet show if he's given information that we can use on our internet show.
Well, but by the way, can't Doug Marrone get a local radio show or like a TV show or like
maybe he has one of those?
I know,
well,
but
maybe
he's
a multi-platform guy.
Maybe.
Video.
Is Doug Marrone on Twitch? Like, what's going on? Like,
what video game is
so
Doug
amazing.
Marrone playing?
Doug Marrone's got the headset. He's on Twitch. He's playing Madden.
Oh.
He's just like, this is what I'm going to do this Sunday against the Colts or whatever.
It's the team's internet show.
It's the team's or the Jaguars internet show.
Yeah, we know
that makes more sense.
Well, you know,
that makes more sense. I just
live
the idea of Doug Marrone just like, what's up, Periscope fam? I'm going IG live right now. He's going live on TikTok. What?
Does he follow you on TikTok, Doug Marrone?
He does not follow me on TikTok. Where I'm at Matthew Berry TMR. I'm over 4,000 I'm verified on TikTok, which made my daughters very impressed. Like, I don't impress my daughters at all. My daughters don't care one iota. But the fact that I got verified on TikTok, suddenly they were impressed with me.
They're like seven. They know what the verification
eight.
Is.
They're eight. No, they're eight. Of course they do. Are you kidding me?
I don't have children. God. I don't know these things.
No, I'll tell you. Listen. They look at me like I'm chopped liver. But you know what I mean. Like if Charlie D'Amelio walked into our door, you know they would freak the blank out.
Who's Charlie D'Amelio?
I have no.
How
idea.
Do you? You don't know who she is? Are you serious? How am I the young? I'm not even going to say I'm the young hip one because it's like
you're a dad. You're not. You are by proxy.
She is a massive, massive internet star.
Okay. Well,
she literally has like 75 million followers on TikTok. She probably has like 40 million on Instagram. Like, yeah, she's the
one with the sisters.
She's got an older sister, Dixie. Like, they're it's a whole family. Like, the dad, like, has 10 million followers.
I will tell you this. You know who's got a lot of followers is Chris Carson.
Hey-o!
All right. Hold on.
So I just want to quickly address anything.
Thirsty Kyle, just I want to poll here. I want to poll here from on the ESPN, on the At Fantasy Focus account, very quickly. Do you know who Charlie D'Amelio is? Yes or no? And just Google her, you'll get the correct spelling of her last name. But yes, just do me that favor. That's what I want.
You gotta make
it's
sure
gonna be like 90%.
Yes. Google her first to spell her last name because she's so famous and popular that everybody knows how to spell her last
name.
Anyway,
talking about
Stefania, you know who she is, right? You've heard of her.
Well, I've heard the name. I don't know if I could pick her out of a lineup.
Are you starting her in fantasy this week?
That's right.
If not, we should talk about people that you are starting
because this is a major injury, Stefania, that has implications if he does not play. And as of right now, we have him in our ranking still because he's been limited in practice. Is Chris Carson going to pull off a miracle and play on Sunday against Miami?
Maybe. You know, this is one where it seemed almost certain that he was going to miss a week. They kind of projected it at 1 to 2 weeks. Very vague description of his injury. We heard it was not as serious as it looked like it could have been after that the way he was tackled and his knee got twisted, but they were very encouraged by the results. And I'm surprised, frankly, that he's been able to practice even on a limited basis. So I think, you know, these things often go with how the player's feeling. And if Chris Carson does enough to show that they're comfortable with him being able to get through a game and being able to protect himself and not at any greater risk of making it worse than he would be any other time he steps on the field. Those are all the factors that go into the decision making. And maybe he's making a case for it. If not, you know, then certainly he's going to be back next week based on this. And we're not going to have much much anxiety next week about who to start in Seattle, but there's a possibility he could be out there this week.
Well, which would be huge, and it's something we will obviously monitor today, and we'll talk about Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2, Fantasy Football Now. I am a company man. It'd be interesting, like, because if he were active, would you feel comfortable starting him? And I think the answer's got to be yes. Like,
probably
if
don't he's, have a choice.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
well,
given this week,
said that, you know, maybe the thinking is he can go out there and not make it worse. That, like, you right. have more confidence that he could be out there for much of the game. It's a good matchup against the Dolphins. And how do you stop? I mean, how do you not play anybody in the Seahawks offense that you've been playing for the first weeks of the season?
I mean, it's unbelievable, right? I mean, you think about this Dolphins team, right? They're the worst red zone defense in the NFL. Through the first 3 weeks of the season, they're 25th against the run. I mean, we just saw James Robinson in negative game script have a monster game against them last Thursday night. And so Chris Carson, who will be in, we expect, positive game script, you know, look, you would expect that to be a very favorable start for him. And by the way, this puts a damper on, I just want to point out, because I think there's two sides of the coin. Number one, the positive piece here is, hey, you might have Chris Carson. But for other people that scramble to the waiver wire to pick up Carlos Hyde because all of a sudden they're without James Conner or Derrick Henry, hold on a minute. You may not have Carlos. I mean, you're going to have him, but you may not have the workload that you expected against the Dolphins. And so I think this is a very important story to watch going forward and make alternative plans if you don't have Chris Carson, but you do have Carlos Hyde and you were planning on him getting a full workload, because that may not be the case. We'll know more later today and obviously Sunday morning.
Yes, we will. How about Kareem Hunt, Stefania, for the Cleveland Browns? He popped up on the injury report this week as well.
Yeah, he hasn't practiced, and I think this is definitely something to be concerned about. A groin injury in a running back is not just important for lateral movement, it's important for power. And if it's significant enough, guys just can't get off the line. They can't explode forward. So if he's absent from practice today, then I think you can write it off for sure. We'll see if he's able to do anything, but he hasn't been out there at all.
Kevin Stefanski coined him day-to-day, so maybe there's a bit of optimism that he can practice today, even on a limited fashion, and play on Sunday. He actually makes Matthews loveless. Matthew, you are all in on Kareem Hunt this weekend in a game where his pass catching may need to be a big part of the Browns' offense, because they're playing against a Cowboys team that can't stop anybody, but they can score with the best of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, right? It's just sort of, how does this game play out? And he's been their pass-catching running back. I mean, like, you know, we talked about this on the Monday show. Like, his touchdown last week came on a passing play, like a legit passing route, not a, like, he was lined up on the line of scrimmage as a slot receiver. And so they're using him some on the line of scrimmage as a slot receiver, and he's certainly the better pass catching back than Nick Chubb. They prefer him in the 2 minute. They prefer him in the third down drills, third down plays, I should say. And so in a game in which the Browns are underdogs here, and we know that the Cowboys offense is one of the best in the NFL. They've had no problem scoring on any team they've played. So this game is likely either a shootout or the Browns are trailing. So, yeah, I think I think Kareem Hunt is potentially the better play here than Nick Chubb. I think you're starting both guys in a high-scoring game. But, yeah, I do like Kareem Hunt in this game, assuming he plays, Stefania. But, you know, he's got this groin issue all of a sudden.
That's what we just talked about. Stefania, let's get to a couple more here.
No, I know, but I'm getting it back to her, because I assume she's going to talk about someone else.
Okay, let's keep it rolling, Stefania, then, with Leonard Fournette, another running back with an injury issue.
Yeah, 2 days now without practicing because of his ankle. And when your coach says that you're concerned about the possibility of Fournette not being available, then it's legitimate. So we've seen ankle problems for him before, and it has really slowed him up. And I would say this is not good. I mean, we'll see what he does today. Friday's always the day, right? We're talking about this. He may surprise us, but we've gotten the hints from the team that aren't very encouraging.
And how about Miles Sanders?
Miles Sanders on the injury report Thursday with a glute issue. I'm not sure if this is related to the hamstring issue that sidelined him early in the season. And it may just be that they want to rest him because the Eagles are hurting. They have a ton of injuries. They have to travel west to play my getting healthier 49ers. So at this point, I don't have any indication that Sanders won't be available. It might just be rest.
And Stefania, they have so many injuries, like you just mentioned. As we talked about on yesterday's show, just one healthy wide receiver for the Eagles on the field, on the practice field on Thursday amongst the 53-man roster guys. So there could be some roster tinkering coming for Philadelphia in the next 24 to 48 hours. And as you mentioned, the 49ers are getting a little bit healthier. So if Leonard Fournette sits, we talked about this yesterday, we suspect that Ronald Jones will be the guy who should have a decent chance at somewhere between 15 and 20 touches, given that Leonard Fournette has played right away since being acquired after he was released by the Jaguars, and that opens up some work for Ronald Jones.
So
for those that have been hanging tight with Rojo.
It's worth noting here, for Ronald Jones's career, when he gets over 15 touches, averages 16.8 fantasy points per game, over 80 total yards in all five of those games, and he scored a touchdown in four of those five games here. So I think that's a reasonable expectation that if Leonard Fournette sits, all due respect to LeSean McCoy.
He's got one carry this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the Rojo show. And so Rojo, you know, getting over 15 carries, certainly the numbers bear that out. And as we talked about, the Chargers come to town. Their defense is really beat up, and it's a West Coast team traveling east for a 1 o'clock game here. I think Ronald Jones is an interesting DFS play and potentially out there in some more shallow leagues.
When it comes to scoring great hires for your business, you may be up against some obstacles like lots of applicants, but difficulty finding the right ones for your job, or finding time to hire while running your business, plus trying to ensure workplace safety. That's why you need ZipRecruiter on your team. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. And first, when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology hustles for you to find people with the right experience for your job and invites them to apply. In fact, check out this stat. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So add ZipRecruiter to your roster to help you win the hiring game. Try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Wake up with Wendy's breakfast. Mm. You haven't tried it? Wendy's breakfast menu is definitely something you don't want to sleep on. Pick from fan faves like our breakfast baconator, honey butter chicken biscuit, and frosty chino.
Yum.
Or mix and match to make your own breakfast dream team. How about that for a morning win? Wendy's breakfast. Spread the word at participating U.S. Wendy's.
I like your inflection there when you dream team.
Thank you, man.
Very dreamy voice there. Well done by you, Daniel. So for those that have missed it, I'm sure you haven't, but just in case, the Pittsburgh Steelers Tennessee Titans game has been postponed from this weekend. It will be at a later date. Adam Schefter reporting the most likely scenario to be that it will be played in week 7, and then they will push back the previously scheduled Steelers-Ravens game to week 8. This morning, Schefter also reported that two more Titans did test positive. Those are players in this case. Brings their franchise total to about 13 from this past week, and that there is a chance, if either more cases bubble up or things don't turn in a hurry, that Week 5's game against the Buffalo Bills, which would be in Buffalo for Tennessee, could be in jeopardy as well. We're mentioning that to you because, as we learned this week, thinking ahead is never a bad play, and especially in this year, you might want to get a jump on things.
Worth mentioning, I mean, the exact wording from Schefter is, at this rate, if there are more positives this weekend in Tennessee, next weekend's Titans-Bills game would be in jeopardy. And so, look, roster construction is so hard, and you only have so many spots here, and we're going to get into IRs for 1 second. You only have so many spots here, but if you only have Josh Allen, which would make total sense given the fact that, you know,
he's been awesome.
Short of amazing, right? Then maybe you look at another quarterback. I think you probably have other, you know, you're not rolling out there with just Devin Singletary or Zach Moss. And as great as Stephon Diggs has been, you probably have other wide receivers as well. So to me, I really think it's about, you know, just, you know, how easy it will be for you to get a quarterback with a decent matchup in week 5 in your particular league. So just something to look at if you've been rolling with Josh Allen. We're not saying it's going to happen, but it's just, if Schefter puts it out there, it's certainly within the realm of possibility and it's worth discussing. I want to just talk very quickly here because I've gotten a lot of blowback here and about the decision that the players on the Titans and Steelers teams are not eligible for IR on the ESPN fantasy game. And I will just tell you, just, and this is not trying to do anything, just so you understand behind the scenes real quickly. The people that do the game, the technology group that does the ESPN fantasy game, are a separate group from the content group here that do the podcast. I think they do a great job. They do an amazing job. It is insanely and hard.
A thankless job, an
insanely hard and thankless job to create.
They're umpires.
Not only are they umpires, but just to create a piece of technology that can handle literally millions upon millions upon millions of transactions every second. Right. I mean, because there are, I mean, literally tens of millions of leagues. Like, I mean, you have no idea how hard this is. It's harder than a banking app. But anyway, so they do a great job. The only reason I bring that up is because I have no control over that, right? I just, having said that, I agree with the decision here. The IR spot, so I just also want to put up that I'm not a spokesman for that particular group, but I'm just, but in my personal opinion, I think it's 100% the right call. The IR spot, and we made the IR spot this year, players that are on the COVID-19 list are eligible for the IR spot this year. But that was for players that have been ruled out due to COVID-19.
That are on the
COVID-19 list.
Right.
The majority of the players on the Titans and Steelers are not on that list.
Player from the Titans who would be fantasy relevant right now.
That is correct. It is their bye week. This is their bye week. And so next week, the Green Bay Packers are on bye. You're not going to be able to put Aaron Rodgers on the IR. You're not going to be able to put Aaron Jones. So it's the complaining that I'm hearing is just like, guys, and I say men and women, like, what are you doing here? Like the NFL is taking precaution, which is absolutely the right thing to do. The health and safety of the Titans and Steelers organizations is paramount above anything else. And then, by the way, they're taking this game off. By the way, they're also giving you notice. You've had like 4 days to deal with this. And it's now their bye week. So deal with it. Like, this is and the last thing I want to say here, and I'll get off my soapbox, but these are unprecedented times, right? We are in a crazy, insane time in our world. Like, no one even talks about murder hornets. Like, murder hornets are the thing. And our world is so insane, no one even talks about murder hornets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And my point is that these are unprecedented, crazy times in the real world and certainly in the fake football world. And all of us, every single one of us, are just trying to muddle through the best we can, trying to make our way through an unprecedented time. And that certainly includes the commissioner of your league, which, let's face it, being the commissioner of a fantasy football league is immediately the worst job in fantasy football. You want to talk about thankless? That is a thankless job. So, you know what? Go easy on your commissioner. Go easy on grief. I'm commissioner of one league, and I got a text from a buddy yesterday that's in the league saying, like, why isn't, you know, these guys in IR? And I'm like, well, they're not on IR because they're not IR eligible because they're not actually on IR. It's the bye week. It's the bye week. It came earlier than you thought. And the person was like, well, that would have affected how I drafted. I'm like, what do you want me to tell you, man? We're in a worldwide pandemic. Like, I mean, like, it just, so that's all I just want to say is I think it is the right decision by ESPN Fantasy. I can't speak to how other platforms are doing it, but I suspect it's the same way. I only play on.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the answer.
I mean, but regardless, like, just, man, like, right, well, we're lucky to play football, man. We're lucky that we've got football at all. We're lucky to play fantasy football. Like, just enjoy it. Focus on trying to make the best possible lineup you can with week four. And, you know.
Well, two things here. I want to offer a workaround for people that and by the way, when I called the games group umpires, I meant that when they do their job perfectly, which is 99% of the time in most people's estimation.
Sure.
No one says anything. It's when they do something you disagree with that you have to jump down their throats, right? In the same way that we do with umpires. Here's a workaround that I've thought of that people should consider for their league, because we also said, like, there might be some legitimacy behind putting three extra bench spots on your roster, like, before going into the season. Hey, have three extra bench spots or two extra bench spots than you normally would, right? Here's a proposed workaround, is that if you have Derrick Henry or Juju Smith-Schuster or whatever, and your league collectively agrees with this idea, what I would suggest is that for those that are concerned about having to drop a valuable piece of their roster because of this situation, everybody agrees on this, then at some point before Sunday, you can submit to your commissioner, I am dropping this player that I would have zero interest in dropping otherwise, if not for this pandemic, and I would like the right to have this player re-added to my roster after week four. So I'm just making this up here. Totally making this up, all right? Let's say that you added Justin Jefferson last week as a nice... Alshon Jeffrey, who you think might play sometime soon for the Philadelphia Eagles, right? But you can't necessarily use him this week. He may or may not play. Hey, I am dropping Alshon Jeffrey for week four because I need to pick up a running back to replace Derrick Henry. I get Alshon Jeffrey back on my roster on Wednesday. If the whole league agrees to it, that seems like actually a fairly straightforward to work this around. You're not vulnerable to losing that player on waivers. You can power through.
I'll say, like, if I was in that league, I would vote no for that.
If the league is collectively steaming mad about this rule, that's a way to work around it.
I understand. I'm in a 16 team
league.
I'm not
surprised that you're disagreeing with it. I'm just saying collectively mad. But this is a workaround.
Which is a completely fair, good workaround, and it should all be done here. And I do think that just in the grand scheme, and I wrote about this in my love-hate column this week, is that if you have that you need to, because luckily we have 4 days notice before that this game's going to be postponed, but we may not in the future. And I do think the league needs to have a rule of like, hey, what happens if at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, you find out the game's not going to be played, right? Or if you found out Monday morning, the Monday Night Football game isn't going to be played, right? So I think you need to have a rule there, whether it's just like, hey, you can designate a backup on your bench to be the replacement, or you go to a best ball format for the week for the league, whatever it is. The one thing I would say here is like, just very quickly, I am in a 16 team league, not our War Room league, but a different 16 team league. And I have Ben Roethlisberger, I have James Conner, I have Deontay Johnson, and I have AJ Brown on that team. And if Scotty Miller doesn't play, like in order for me to start a kicker, I'm going to have to waive Scotty Miller, who has decent amount of value in a 16 team league. And you know what? It is what it is.
That's right. Correct. Like, it is what it is.
I'm just like, okay. All right. Them's the breaks. Welcome to fantasy football.
All right. Let's move forward because we've got a ton of stuff to try to get to in the time we have left on this show. So, understanding there are no Steelers or Titans available this weekend, I'm just going to give you some names that you should consider. We're going to give you some names you should consider if you're trying to replace, and we'll go by position. And I don't know that Ben or Ryan Tannehill was being started in a high percentage of leagues, probably two quarterback leagues only, and as a result of that...
I think Ben was.
Maybe some. Not a ton, though.
Okay.
Maybe some. Anyways, let's talk about quarterbacks. Gardner Minshew makes the love list for you, Matt, this week. He's a consensus top 13 play for us. Jared Goff, who we have as well, top 15 quarterback in terms of ESPN consensus rankings. And Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Seahawks defense has been brutal so far this season, specifically defending the pass. Those are three options right there. You like Gardner Minshew. Actually, you like Jared Goff the most out of those three.
He's QB9 on the season. You love the matchup at home against the Giants. He's been a top 11 fantasy quarterback in four of the past five games, so you love the matchup there. Ryan Fitzpatrick, by the way, is one of five different quarterbacks with 24 fantasy points in weeks 2 and 3. Mahomes, Wilson, Prescott, Josh Allen, the others, obviously the Seahawks, have allowed multiple quarterback touchdowns in all three games so far this year. By the way, since week 10 of last year, Ryan Fitzpatrick, a top 10 fantasy quarterback. Like, we don't know how long he keeps this gig, but as long as he does, he's going to be productive because that team's going to be throwing. And Gardner Minshew, right? You know, I'm in on him. I think this is a sneaky high-scoring game between the Bengals as well. 10 days to prepare from last Thursday. He still threw 275 yards in an awful game last Thursday. I think better days are ahead starting on Sunday.
All right, four tight end replacements. You get to pick one that you might like most. Of course, this will be replacing Jonnu Smith, who's been a top 10 tight end up to this point in the season. Jimmy Graham, Dalton Schultz for the Dallas Cowboys, Mo Alie-Cox, who continues to do good things for the Indianapolis Colts. And also Logan Thomas, of course, for your Washington football team. He has been rock solid in terms of target share. Most of them are off target.
Of those four guys, if I had to stream a tight end this week, give me Dalton Schultz. And I actually don't think it's all that close, right? Dalton Schultz, believe it or not Amari Cooper, not Michael Gallup, not CeeDee Lamb. Dalton Schultz leads the Cowboys in red zone targets. You think about how you attack Cleveland. It's in the middle of the field. They struggle against tight ends. They've allowed 10 different red zone touchdowns. That's tied for the second most. Again, Schultz leads the team in red zone targets. Give me Dalton Schultz this week.
The defensive proposition is sort of interesting because I think you're probably keeping the Steelers if you can afford to do so. You don't want to drop them with how good they've been in their upcoming schedule, which includes Philadelphia, very banged up, and Cleveland in weeks 5 to 6. But three options if you're looking for them. The Texans against the Vikings, who Kirk Cousins has been quite generous so far in terms of throwing interceptions. He has tied with Carson Wentz for the most interceptions so far in the NFL this year with 6. The Eagles play the 49ers. 49ers, as Stefania mentioned, are getting healthier, but still it's a lot of injuries on that 49ers offense and that 49ers defense. And then finally, the Seahawks. So we talked about it a minute ago. They are brutal defensively in terms of defending the pass, but if you think they can be opportunistic because Ryan Fitzpatrick sometimes giveth and sometimes taketh away, or I guess in this case it will be the opposite. Yeah. But still, the point is
sometimes Fitz magic is Fitz tragic.
That's right. So it might be a couple of options for you to consider. Here's where it gets more interesting, I think, with all these backfield option replacements and just sort of backfield expectations. So if you're looking to replace James Conner or Derrick Henry, one of the most popular names on waiver wires in terms of available names would be Sony Michel, who this past week, Matthew, had a 117-yard game against the Raiders. They play the Chiefs to the Patriots on Sunday. If the Patriots want to win this game, and I believe it's a long shot for them to win this game, they have to do something that many teams would like to do against the Chiefs, fewer able to execute. That's keep the football out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. The best way to sustain long drives is to run the football a ton. How do you expect this Patriots backfield to shake out? Understanding that not just Sony Michel, not just Rex Burkhead, not just J.J. Taylor, but James White has been back with the team this week. We continue to certainly send our best to him and his family after a tragic situation just a couple of Sundays ago. And Damian Harris began practicing again this week. He's eligible to be promoted from IR back to the active roster. Can you play any of these backs?
Not to mention the fact that you've got Cam Newton, who, you know, 2 out of 3 weeks has been a big part of the rushing attack of the Patriots. And certainly in a game against the Chiefs, it's important. You would expect him to once again do that as well. Can you play? No. Might you have to? Sure. And so I think if I had to start someone, to me, I think it's Sony Michel and James White. I know Rex Burkhead had the big week last week, and certainly he'll get some. He'll get a little bit of run here. And look, the easiest way to look dumb on television or the internet or a video is trying to predict Patriots running back. So,
hey, Stefania, I think you want to get in the mix here on this Patriots running back group. Anything you want to add to that conversation?
Yeah, before you get too excited about Sony Michel, you know, he's been listed on the injury report as limited with a quad injury. And our friend Mike Reese, who knows the team better than anyone, gave us those great updates on Sunday on Fantasy Football Now, said Sony Michel was supposed to do media yesterday and did not. And that's always a red flag up there. So his status could be in question for this week. James White will play, though.
Okay, interesting there.
All right. Forget everything I just said.
Yeah. speaking of Sony Michel's quad.
You never know with the Patriots. The Patriots do get a little creative with the injury report sometimes.
No, they actually are like, so I think Savanya would back this up there. They're like one of the most diligent of the injury reports.
No, but like every, I mean, for years, like there would be like, they'd have 25 guys on the injury report. Like that's Brady true. Was on
they,
the injury
they
report.
They do list a lot of players at questionable, and I expect Sony Michel to come in at questionable. I'm just saying there are certain things that are kind of flags with them, and one of them is media. When a player doesn't speak with the media.
Right, sure, sure.
Apropos of nothing, after the Patriots won their last Super Bowl, Sony Michel, who obviously was a big part of that, came to ESPN with a few other teammates.
Yes, he did.
He has the single largest legs I've ever seen in my life. So that's a big quad injury right there.
It is. So that's your way of saying you've never seen Saquon Barkley? You've never seen A.J. Dillon?
Well, not in person. That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. I have seen A.J. Dillon. I went to a lot of BC football games. Anyways,
there you go.
Let's move forward here.
All right.
The 49ers, Stefania, they have some players that are trending upwards, but Raheem Mostert doesn't seem to be one of them right now.
Yeah, not practicing. And we thought he might miss a little time with this MCL sprain. So I'm right now not counting on him. Jerick McKinnon banged up with the ribs last week, full participant in practice and expected to go. And I know we're talking running backs, but just keep in mind that Debo Samuel could possibly see the field this week.
Okay. Of course, he'd have to be elevated to the active roster after being removed from IR as he began practicing this week. Jerick McKinnon have top 25 potential this week, Matthew?
Certainly. I mean, you know, look, the way they use him in the passing game here, the Eagles are a good defensive front, but I don't know that they're impenetrable. And, you know, the 49ers offensive line, one of the better ones in the NFL. And so Jerick McKinnon becomes very viable as a flex with some upside here. And suddenly Jeff Wilson Jr., I think, you know, maybe off of the injury here, McKinnon, even if he plays maybe a little bit banged up, Wilson Jr., you know, towards the end of the game last week had some nice runs, got into the end zone. Obviously, so Wilson, for those running back desperate this week, looking around, sifting around, the fact that Mostert's not there, Wilson Jr. might be somebody that you could slide in as a flex as well.
Let's do two more backfields. We'll go to Stefania for this one first. It's the Bills. It's Zach Moss. He missed last week's game due to the toe injury. Any chance he'll be back in week 4?
I think there's a chance, but, you know, he's only been limited in practice. I mean, he's not wearing a red non-contact jersey, so that's a positive sign. But still, toe injuries are tough for running backs, and unless he's a full participant today, it's one of those where I'd be a little concerned about not only his status, but how much they would actually use him if he does play.
Okay, obviously Devin Singletary would be basically the man in the backfield for the Raiders. I thought last week, Matthew, I don't know the specific line off of hand for Devin Singletary, but, you know, if he has no Zach Moss, I would think in a matchup you don't hate against the Raiders, he'd probably be, I mean, you actually really like it against the Raiders.
I was going to say.
Top 20 play? Top 15 play? Top 18?
Top 20.
Yeah.
Top 20 to me, yeah. If there's no Zach Moss, Singletary would be a must start, I think, against the Raiders here. By the way, just to clean something up, Jeff Wilson Jr. also had a receiving touchdown in that game. So ultimately ended up, I said he got into the end zone, but he got into the end zone twice, actually.
How about that?
I was talking about the one rushing touchdown, but he also had the receiving touchdown.
Last one here is the Baltimore Ravens, who, of course, there's not an injury concern here, Matthew. It's just that a team that is so good at running the football, as I mentioned earlier this week, they set the NFL record for rushing yards last season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have to play at least one Ravens running back, but I just don't know exactly how to get excited about them right now, given what we've seen through three games and how many players there are that can run the football in this backfield. But eventually they're going to have one of those games where they just get right and somebody goes crazy. Is it this Sunday? And do you think it's Mark Ingram?
Yes, and maybe.
Okay.
So I think it's a get right game.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Washington is
banged up, no matter.
They're super banged up. Yeah, and Chase Young not going to be there as well. And so, like, they're going to run. And by the way, that's going to be positive game script. Like, I just think that there is no way that the Washington team is able to move the ball against that Ravens defense. And I think, you know, I think Lamar Jackson has a huge game this week. I think it's a get right game for the Ravens offense. And so in positive game script and a get right game, one of their running backs is going to have 100 yards and maybe two touchdowns. The problem is we just don't know who it is. So if we're sitting here on Monday, when we come back Monday to talk about the show, we could easily be talking about, like, wow, Mark Ingram's 100 yards, two touchdowns. Wouldn't shock me. Also wouldn't shock me if that was J.K. Dobbins. Would shock me a little bit if it was Gus Edwards, but yeah, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility. And so that's the concern here. It's not that we don't think they're going to have production. They are. It's picking which guy you want. But I rank them Ingram, Dobbins, Edwards, and that's how I would roll the dice with them. I think Ingram has the most guaranteed touches in this game that we expect the Ravens to do well in.
Did you know that right now Geico is offering for an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? A Giants running back to rush for like 250 yards on Sunday?
Wow.
Not going to happen.
Wow.
Visit Geico.com to learn more.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. Coors Light wants you to know that no matter what sport is on this fall, Saturdays are your time to chill. It doesn't matter what sport or team is playing, Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sports or team just to drink beer. So flip through the channels, find a sport, and crack open Coors Light. Coors Light is the one made to, excuse me, Coors Light is the one to choose when you need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at getcoorslight.com. That's get.coorslight.com.
We're going to run through a few players here that would be potential flex appeal candidates for us on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday. For those that don't watch the show regularly, it's one of our final segments of the show. It's the players that we're asked about the most. There are 10 of them in total. We're not going to get to 10 of them.
But if you'd like to ask us one, tweet at us using the hashtag FFNow.
That's correct. Let's begin with a few, though, here. Matthew, Miles Gaskin for the Dolphins seems to be the man in this backfield. He does make the hate list, though, this week. Are you nervous that Miami's going to be completely out game scripted here? Like, they're going to be down by 25 points at halftime or something?
It's a couple of things that I'm concerned about, right? First off, the Seahawks league low 46 running back carries against. That's the problem with the game script, right? Teams get down and they have to start throwing. How much is Gaskin going to be involved in the passing game here? And by the way, if they get in close, do they bring in Jordan Howard? Because Jordan Howard has been sort of their goal line back now. Gaskin got a couple of goal-to-go carries in the last game on Thursday night, but for the most part this year, it's been Jordan Howard when they get in close. So that's the concern on Gaskin. I am just outside my top 20. I think he's a talented player, and I like him going forward, but for this week against the Seahawks, I have him at running back 25, which means he's more of a flex play than he is a top 20 must-start against the Seahawks.
Antonio Gibson's trending in the right direction for Washington. 48th amongst running backs, and then 29th amongst running backs, and then 24th amongst running backs in weeks 1, 2, and 3. Can he crack the top 20 this week?
Not for me. I'm at 26, so I'm just after Myles Gaskin here. The question is look, listen, Gibson got into the end zone last week, which was nice to see, but you're still seeing a decent amount of J.D. McKissic. And honestly, this Ravens defense is just so good, and I'm nervous about Dwayne Haskins. Did not look ready for prime time last week. He just didn't. And this is going to be a tougher matchup for him than it was last week. They should have won that game against Cleveland and they couldn't. And so now they get the Ravens. I'm super nervous that Washington has trouble moving the ball. And I don't know how consistently Antonio Gibson is going to touch the ball. Love him as a player. Love his talent. But yeah, he's much more of a flex consideration for me this week.
Starting to get a little bit late early for Dwayne Haskins, in my opinion, as a quarterback. Michael Gallup, Matthew, had a great finish to last week's game. A lot of it came in that second half against Seattle. I know Mike Clay is down on Michael Gallup this week. I think it's
Clay's a hater. Mike Clay hates the Cowboys. He's an Eagles fan. It's completely biased. It says in his Twitter bio,
wow,
biased against your favorite team.
Wow,
he's totally biased.
There's
no data.
Top 25. I've got him at 29. Daniel at 28. I know Mike. I think Mike has him in his 40s ranking. So
that's crazy talk, by the way.
You're more interested in Michael Gallup this week then.
I'm at 24. Yeah. Look, obviously a huge week last week in week number 3, but he leads the Cowboys in deep targets, right? He's actually 6th among wide receiver in deep fantasy points. And look, 13% of deep passes against the Cleveland Browns have resulted in a touchdown. That's the 6th highest rate in the NFL. We expect a lot of points to be scored in this game. It's one of the highest over-unders on the slate. And so you just want a part of this passing game here. Look, CeeDee Lamb made the love list here. Where you attack the Browns is in the middle of the field. And so I do think CeeDee Lamb, we talked about this with Dalton Schultz as well. Like, I do think CeeDee Lamb has a big game here. But they've been taking deep shots to Michael Gallup all season long. They didn't pay off in weeks 1 and 2. They did pay off in week 3. You know, look, I have him at 24, so I don't have him as a top 20 must play, but I do think he has a productive game. I do have him as a wide receiver 3 this week.
Yeah, Clay has him at 43, Michael Gallup.
And that's crazy.
Tristan Cockcroft has him at 40th amongst wide receivers.
Wow, those guys are haters.
I think your confidence in
I just think if you're a Cowboys fan out there, or you have Michael Gallup on your roster, I think it's important that you tweet at Mike Clay NFL or at Sultan of Stat, that's Tristan, and just be like, what's up with that ranking of Michael Gallup?
So
I'm fine with it. I think it's important to specifically ask them
on
that one thing.
Your confidence in playing Michael Gallup is tied, in my opinion, to your confidence in the Browns offense, because although the Cowboys have had 3 shootout games, they've also played 3 awesome offenses. It's not like they're playing any slouch teams so far. So if you think the Cowboys and the Browns will be, as Matthew mentioned, a high-scoring affair, you can slot Michael Gallup into your lineup. Let's go to put up.
That's a quick question. It's going to depend on Baker, but when you think about Beckham and you think about Landry and you think about Austin Hooper and you think about Chubb and Kareem Hunt, like, there is legit talent on that Browns offense.
Yeah, we've been saying that for a year and a half now.
But,
that's a problem.
No, I know.
Right?
Baker has to play decently, but I think he will.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. He's going back home. I think Baker has a nice day back home in Texas, his home state. He's played well in that stadium in 2 separate occasions previously.
Yes, he
high
has.
School and college level. Not that that matters, just pointing it out. Put up or shut up, week 4 expectations for guys that we need to go crazy, and if they don't, we're going to have a major, major problem. Matthew, is AJ Green 1 week away from being dropped in leagues right now? He has been not good so far. He plays the Jaguars, though, on Sunday. A good matchup for him.
Yeah, this has got to be a get-right game for AJ Green, because the argument is 2 sides. There's the anti-AJ Green is like, he's washed. You know, but the pro AJ Green is like, look at the volume. The guy hasn't played football like in a year and a half. He's getting back into game shape. They're still looking for him. He's had some bad luck. And by the way, he's also had some bad matchups like last week against Darius Slay. So now against the Jaguars, there's no such thing. They allow the 9th most points per wide receiver target. And again, this is the guy that we expect to lead the Bengals in targets on Sunday.
I'm not sure about that. I'm sitting him.
Are you?
I got him outside my top 30. 37 for me. Yeah, sitting AJ.
I'm at 28. So, I mean, I'm as a wide receiver 3. I understand the concern. Tyler Boyd made my love list. I think Tyler Boyd has the best fantasy day of any Bengals wide receiver. But I think the T. Higgins thing was more of a fluke last week. I love T. Higgins' talent long term. But, you know, he was 5 for 40 with just a couple of, you know, oh, by the way, close in touchdowns. I think this is a get right game for AJ Green. So, let's see. I'm at 28. You, I'm at 37.
Yeah.
I'd say he's a top what? You want a little board bet here on AJ Green?
You want 32?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I say AJ Green is a top 32 fantasy wide receiver this week.
I say AJ Green is not a top 32 wide receiver this week. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
I'd be happy to lose that bet, by the way. T.Y. Hilton for the Colts has been brutal so far this season. Same thing here, Matthew. I've got him at 39. I'm not starting T.Y. Hilton this week. No. I don't care about whether the fact that they have no healthy wide receivers besides him right now. Like, that was the case last week. And then you get a good Chicago defense. I'm fading if I can.
No more than four catches in a game this season. Just one red target, one red zone target in the entire year. And Chicago has yet to allow a touchdown to an opposing wide receiver this entire season. And so if you're the Colts, and by the way, they do still have Zach Pascal out there. Shout out to Zach Pascal.
Old Dominion.
Oh, yeah. ODU, baby. And so my expectation here is, yeah, he made the hate list for me this week. I'm with you, Field. I'm slightly higher on him than you are in terms of my ranking. I am at 34. But, yeah, if I can avoid starting T.Y. Hilton this week, I am going to, because if you're the Colts, aren't you just running Jonathan Taylor a ton here?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, or throwing the ball to T.Y. Hilton. Oh, wait, no, you don't do that anymore. I forgot.
No.
Sorry. 39 for wide receivers. 39. Yeah.
I think T.Y. is getting another call from grandma.
Odell Beckham Jr., we mentioned him earlier on. He is, Stefania, I just want to mention this quickly with you. He's on the injury report now, a back issue.
Yeah, that cropped up suddenly that he has a back injury. You know, he's been, big news was he had the core surgery in the offseason, took care of all those abdominal muscles. So I didn't take this yet to be something serious, but obviously a surprise addition. So pay attention to today.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. It sounds like he's going to go on Sunday, but I love we flashed. He's 13th in air yards this year. Well, what is he in real yards? That's what I want to know, Kyle, because
wow.
He's been brutal. He
wow.
has not been good so far this year, and I was all in on Odell this year. I don't know what needs to happen for the Cleveland Browns. Do you have the answer, Kyle, where he actually ranks? Okay, he's on. He's taking
but
a look.
I'll tell you what needs to happen.
He needs to play really well.
No, so does Baker.
Okay.
I mean, Baker's played three games this year. He's been inaccurate in two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he has. He has happy feet, and when he's been accurate, he's good. But that's the problem. Baker's been bad this year. I put it more on Baker than I do on Beckham.
Okay, fair enough. Odell and Jarvis Landry, Matthew, you and I agree we have to start Odell this weekend. We're doing it. We're going to play with fire and just make it happen and hope for the best and pray, emoji.
All he needs is one play.
Okay. Can we get one play from Odell this weekend?
I think so.
15 fantasy points, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes as well, and I'm going to do so because, really, I could use it. I'm being selfish here. I want 15 fantasy points from you, Odell Beckham Jr. That's all I'm asking for in life, to not too much more than that. Jarvis Landry, he says he's close to being back to 100%. He's been playing. That hasn't been the issue. But, man, he has been low volume this year relative to what we've seen for so many years, benching him or playing him against the Cowboys on Sunday.
I'm at 41, so I'm benching him, obviously. Yeah, I need to see it. I need to see it. Beckham, there's such big play potential there, but other than that, I think you're starting Beckham, but Landry, yes, doesn't feel healthy. You know, that offense still out of sync a little bit.
Hey, Browns, let's get it going this weekend in offense. I know you're 2-1 and you're over 500 for the first time since 2014. I'm happy for you in that regard. Go win a big game, because this would be a big game. This would be a big win for you on Sunday in Dallas. All right, Kyle Soppy, you are back. It's time now. Do you have this? Can you ask us the trivia question?
I got you covered. And Odell tied for 48th in receiving yards this year with a .155 tied with Sammy Watkins. So not exactly where you want to be.
Nice new set, by the way, for you, Kyle Soppy.
Yeah,
I like
that.
It. Yeah, looking
Looks
good.
Pretty good here.
New new set, new sweater.
Look at that. Yeah,
look at
we're
that.
Doing all right here.
Looking sharp, yeah.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce has been a top 10 tight end all 3 weeks this season. He's one of two tight ends. I want you to name the other one.
I know.
Okay, well, wow. Stefania's going to write it down in a second. Let Matthew and I submit our answers so that if we each also have the same guess that Stefania has, we can all get credit for these points. So, of course, Travis Kelce, a top 10 tight end all 3 weeks. You name the only other tight end that has been a top 10 tight end in all 3 weeks this season. I think all three of us might get this one, Kyle. You're getting soft. Stefania,
wow.
You go first.
Look at me all confident, and then I'm probably going to miss it. Jonnu Smith?
And I guess Jonnu Smith. Matthew guesses?
I did guess Jonnu Smith.
Wow, you all got it.
Let's go! Wow, miracles can happen.
Is that a first?
Do you believe in miracles?
Wow, you guys are peaking in week four.
Kyle, wow.
Can we just kill trivia now? Can we just go out on that? Can we just,
we're
no longer going to do trivia?
When are you getting another one right?
Kyle gets into this.
I mean, we should just go out on top. We should just,
by the way, just quick little alert on the Fantasy Life app, but Arizona Cardinals GM Steve Keim said about DeAndre Hopkins, one thing about Hop knows his body better than anybody. The fact is he doesn't miss football games. I think I said that first.
You did.
I think he listened to me.
Stefania Bell, we need to add you as an alert on the Fantasy Life app.
I'd like to hear that.
Appreciate the shout out there.
Good news on DeAndre Hopkins.
All right. Yeah,
I'd like
great
to hear
news there.
That for DeAndre Hopkins. We expect to see him on Sunday now with those words from Steve Keim. As mentioned, Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, ESPN2 on Sunday, all the way up until 1 o'clock kickoff games. We'll have all the latest information. Matthew have plenty of, I don't know, food takes or something? Maybe some fantasy football information?
We will have analysis on all the games, reporters at all the games, the three of us,
Mike Clay,
Damian
others.
Woody. The whole cast will be there Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. Tune in, and let's get you a win. My love-hate column is up on ESPN.com. Check that out, especially if you need to make a trade. For Daniel Fields, Stefania, Kyle, I'm Matthew. Peace out!
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.